for me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. You are now listening and or watching WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live online only at Facebook Live at facebook.com/WKAR News. Or, of course, you may be listening to the podcast version of the show at WKAR.org as we have continuing coverage on our frequencies of 105.1 FM and AM 870 of the Senate impeachment trial. You know, we've been beginning our Facebook Live shows around 1:15 so that you can kind of get an overview of what is going to be discussed and what is happening today with the Senate impeachment trial at 1 o'clock. Gives you 15 minutes to decide whether or not at 1:15 you want to turn to WKAR's Current Sports. So we're back at it. It is Friday, January 31st, 2020. Crazy that this is the final day of the first month of the decade already. Pretty crazy. This week, this month has absolutely flown by. Tomorrow will be February 1st, and on Sunday, it's a national holiday, basically, right? Super Bowl Sunday in America, as the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers will go at it, trying to win, of course, the coveted Lombardi Trophy. So we will have a ton of Super Bowl discussion on today's Current Sports. I may throw in a little bit of Michigan State men's basketball chatter. We dedicated the show pretty much all day yesterday to the Spartan men's hoop team after they, of course, got that win over Northwestern at the Breslin Center. And they hit the road now to take on a much less talented Wisconsin team than they were a week ago now, right? Brad Davison and the whole situation with him being suspended, which we talked about yesterday as well, and Kobe King deciding to leave the program. You got to feel good if you are a Michigan State fan approaching that game on the road. So, I'll touch on MSU men's hoops. I won't go too much in depth there. Of course, we'll have a lot of recap come Monday when it comes to MSU men's basketball and the Super Bowl. We're going to have some fun with the Super Bowl, though. You'll get our thoughts and predictions. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. We also have Megan Landon behind the glass helping out, and she has listed some really fun prop bets that we'll get to. Prop bets are always fun when talking about the Super Bowl, right? And we'll lay down we don't lay down cheese here, but we'll lay down some predictions here. Jack and I, we may have a friendly bet. I don't know, maybe put some lunch on it or something like that. It'll be something fun to follow as the Super Bowl takes place on Sunday out in Miami. Why not?
Okay.
Why not, man? Something small.
All right, he's putting me on the spot here, listeners. We did not discuss this prior to going on the air.
No, we didn't. I'm definitely putting you on the spot. Something small, man. Nothing like, you know, nothing like real money. Like lunch. You know what I mean?
He also still does owe me $5, listeners, just so you know. Yeah.
I do? For what? What did I? How did I
we can talk about it off air.
Okay. We'll talk about that off air.
The Matt Stafford thing from Bleacher Report, basically. You remember the Joker thing?
Did address it.
Yeah, and he said he'd never seen it, and I told you he hadn't seen it.
He said, how do we really know, though? That's not provable. Is that a word, provable?
I think our bet was just whether or not he'd say he'd seen it.
I have to go back and listen to the tape on that.
Okay.
I totally forgot about that.
Either way, I don't think he ever saw it, but.
And $5 is $5.
All right, fair enough.
I always pay up.
Okay.
Man, always,
all right. You always should, agreed.
My grandfather always told me that. Pay up, son. So, Yeah, I totally forgot about that. All right.
And you are about to be in the hole on a lunch bet, too. You remember that, right?
What?
You remember we had a bet?
Another bet?
Yeah, about Joe Burrow. Who was going to go first in the NFL draft? We had this discussion a while ago. I said Joe Burrow's going first overall. You said it's going to be Chase Young. I said the Bengals are taking a quarterback. So that's yet to be determined, but
it's probably going to be
Burrow. I think you're in the hole there, yeah.
When looking at what Burrow was able to do last year.
Unless he gets hurt. But
yeah. You know, and there's also, I may even touch on some Detroit Lions talk today because I don't know if you saw the Miami Herald tweet concerning Tua Tagovailoa and him possibly becoming a Detroit Lion.
What his parents said?
That's a tease. I'll get to that later on.
Does it have to do with his parents?
I'll get to that later on.
Did you hear what his agent said yesterday?
I know. I will get that. Okay. We're just teasing.
All right.
Now, for the listeners out there, we have to get to that now. Well, I'll get to that later on in the show. But today we'll be centered, though, on the Super Bowl. Who you got? I would love to hear from you guys out there. Chiefs or 49ers? You can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also, weigh in below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You guys know how we start this party. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here with MSU women's basketball. Despite four players reaching double figures, the injury-plagued Michigan State women's hoop team fell to Purdue 76-66 last night at the Breslin Center. Michigan State now falls to 11-10 overall, 4-6 in Big Ten games, having now lost three straight. Purdue has now won three straight games and improves to 15-7, 6-4 in league contests. Now, after the game, head coach Susie Merchant announced that junior redshirt forward, Madrika Cook, will miss the remainder of the season with a torn Achilles tendon. So we send a lot of thoughts to Madrika Cook. That is incredibly unfortunate news there. Senior guard Nia Clouden, she led four Spartans in double figures with 17 points, marking the sixth game this season with four players in double digits. Senior guard Taryn McCutcheon added 16 points and had a team-high 5 assists. Freshman guard Maura Joyner, she's been great this year, scored 12 points. Sophomore forward Kayla Bellis added 10. So Michigan State falling again to 11-10 overall, 4-6 in the Big Ten Conference. The Michigan State men's basketball team will make the trip to Wisconsin tomorrow for a Big Ten contest. That will be a 1 p.m. tip time, I believe. Michigan State is ranked number 14 in the USA Today coaches poll, enters the matchup 16-5 overall, 8-2 in the Big Ten. Michigan State defeated Northwestern 79-50 on Wednesday, and Wisconsin comes into that game 12-9 overall, 5-5 in the Big Ten. Most recently, number 18 ranked Iowa defeated Wisconsin 68-62 on Monday. And again, right now, Brad Davison, he is suspended. He will not play in that game due to really crossing the line as a quote-unquote competitor in that Iowa game, in that Iowa defeat. And, of course, Kobe King is no longer with the program. So two big blows for this team heading into that matchup. Right now, Michigan State is currently tied with Illinois for the lead in the Big Ten men's basketball standings. Jack, can we get the score of last night's Illinois and Minnesota game? Because, again, many Spartan fans were watching that game, rooting against Illinois, but Illinois keeping pace with the Spartans.
For the record, right? I was not rooting against Illinois, but I didn't know they played last night,
well, yeah,
to be honest with
you.
You're
an Illinois fan because of your family.
That's true.
So,
it was 59-51, the Fighting Illini over the Golden Gophers.
59-51.
Correct.
So, yeah. Illinois, keeping pace with Michigan State right now. Illinois, a really good team. All right, Michigan and Rutgers will meet at Madison Square Garden tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. The Wolverines are in the midst of trying to wrestle their season back on track, while Rutgers is excited to see how fast this train can go right now. The Scarlet Knights are in the midst of their best season in decades, sitting at 7-3 in the Big Ten. That's a game in back of Michigan State in the loss column right now. You might as well throw Illinois in that as well. Rutgers has won 10 of its last 12 games and is the number 6 team in the country since December 9th. Michigan has won its last 9 games at the Garden and has been dominant on neutral floors, 28-5, with John Teske and Xavier Simpson. And Xavier Simpson will not play tomorrow due to being suspended for a violation of team rules. We brought that story to you guys earlier this week. So a win over a hot Rutgers team could be exactly what the Wolverines need. But again, the status of those two players and Simpson and also Isaiah Livers remains in the air right now. Simpson, he's probably not going to play. Violation of team rules. Has it been officially announced that he is suspended for that game against Rutgers?
No. No, it's still up in the air. They said they're still evaluating. But the team does leave at 6 p.m. today, and the last time he didn't travel with them, so we might know pretty quickly.
All right.
That or Juwan Howard brings Xavier Simpson with them and then doesn't let him play. Who knows?
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep a close eye on that as well. All right. Toronto Raptors at 34-14. Congratulations to Kyle Lowry as well for being named an All-Star. A lot of controversy with that, though, because Bradley Beal didn't become an All-Star. But I'm not going to go on a rant about that. 34-14, the Raptors are. Look to build on a 9-game win streak when they face the Detroit Pistons, who are 17-32 in a road tilt this evening. Markieff Morris, who has an illness. He is questionable to play for Detroit. Mark Gasol, dealing with a hamstring injury. He is out for Toronto. Tip time, 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. Right now, sportsbooks list the Raptors as 4.5-point road favorites, holding steady from the opener, while the over-under, or total number of points Vegas thinks will be scored, is 223.5. That's the latest on the Pistons and Raptors lines. Now, despite his best year in 8 seasons and his hometown of Chicago actually hosting the NBA All-Star festivities, Detroit Pistons guard Derrick Rose, he was not selected as an All-Star reserve this year. Rose, he missed out on being named on the starting roster, finishing 4th overall with a weighted score of 5.2 behind Trae Young and Walker and Brooklyn's Kyrie Irving. Rose, he racked up 1.8 million fan votes. He received 40 votes from players and 2 votes from the media. He totaled 300,000 more votes this year than he did in his most recent All-Star appearance in 2012, and he still isn't an All-Star. Rose, at 31 years old, playing his best basketball of the season right now. He has scored 20 or more points in 13 consecutive games, topping his previous career-long streak of 10 during his MVP season in 2010-2011, averaging 18.9 points per game, 6 assists, and almost 3 rebounds in 27 minutes of play. He's shooting a career-high 49.8% from the field and has rallied his young teammates on a number of occasions. He is not an All-Star, though. That's a big bummer, too, because I really thought that Rose was going to be named an All-Star, and it would have been really cool for him to return to Chicago. That would have been awesome to see, but, yeah, isn't meant to be. All right, the Winged Wheel, if you care, they are in action tonight at 7 p.m. as the Detroit Red Wings will hit the road to take on the New York Rangers. Again, puck drop 7 p.m., Detroit is right now in the midst of another 6-game losing streak and has gone 2-7-1 over its last 10 games. The Wings are just 4-19-2 on the road for the season and buried firmly in last place with a minus 90 goal differential. New York is 4-6-0 over the last 10 games, but 13-10-2 at home. The Rangers beat the Wings 5-1 in the season's first head-to-head meeting back on November 6th. Curtis Granderson is hanging it up. The longtime outfielder who began his career with the Detroit Tigers organization, he was instrumental in the 06 AL championship year. He has announced his retirement. Granderson was a three-time All-Star, including in 2009 with the Tigers, a Silver Slugger Award winner in 2011 with the New York Yankees, and a Roberto Clemente Award winner with the New York Mets back in 2016. But he got his start with the Tigers. Actually, he was my favorite Tiger when he rocked the old English D back in the day. Loved watching him play. The Tigers took him in the third round of the 02 MLB draft. He got his first call up in 04 and then became the starting center fielder in 06. From there, Curtis led the lineup for the most, surprising comeback team in baseball, hitting 19 home runs, 68 ribbies, and a 260 average. The Tigers went 95-67 that year and went on to play in the World Series just three seasons after losing 119 games. And the Tom Brady mysterious tweet that has everybody speculating. What does it mean? Does this mean that Tom Brady is trying to hint that he is done playing with the New England Patriots? Some believe it was a tribute to Kobe Bryant. It was a picture of Tom Brady walking, I believe, out of the tunnel for the New England Patriots. And Adam Schefter actually... Adam Schefter, I mean, his work is golden, right? He is the guy when it comes to NFL reporting. He tweeted, quote, "I am told that this tweet is not related to Tom Brady's football future. Repeat, not related to his football future." But the speculation sure is fun. And it has been fun. You know, a lot of people immediately when Tom Brady put this out, a lot of people hit their social media pages that I saw and, you know, quoted his tweet in that picture, and everybody's been speculating as to what it means. You know, that's the world we live in now when it comes to social media. So maybe we'll get some clarification from Brady on that. I don't know. And of course, you know, we've been talking about this story throughout the week, the tragedy that has been the death of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and the seven others who lost their lives in that helicopter crash on Sunday. Well, this broke, I believe, today or sometime late yesterday evening. But the helicopter carrying Kobe and those eight others, including his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, it did not have the necessary federal certification to fly. That is according to the New York Times. Now, while the flight's pilot, Ara Zobayan, he was certified to fly using Instruments Island Express helicopters, which owned the Sikorsky S-76B that crashed, did not have the necessary certification. Now, because of the company's certification limitations, Zobayan was required to fly only in conditions of, quote, sufficient visibility, end quote, to navigate visually. According to CNN, Island Express Helicopters is, quote, suspending all flight service for operation reasons, but declined to provide any other details regarding the suspension. So, yeah, just really sad stuff there. Okay, on to less important matters as we push along here on this Friday edition of Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call if you would like to be a part of the show today. You can also weigh in right below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
it's amazing. I mean, this was our goal ever since training camp, ever since last year, ever since I've been here, is to be in this game and to be able to play for a Super Bowl championship. And so it's amazing with the support that Kansas City shows every single year, ups and downs, whatever it is, to be able to bring the fans here because they are here, and playing this game is amazing. Yeah, when I got hurt, I literally had no idea what was going to happen. I mean, when you look at your knee and it's in the side of your leg, you think the worst. And so for me, I credit those training staff of just getting me back, pushing me to be great every single day, to maximize any rehab that I had. And lucky enough, it wasn't bad, and I was able to get myself back here. Yeah, I mean, to be in Miami, there's been so many Super Bowls played here before. I believe it's like the most Super Bowls. Counting this one will be in Miami, and knowing that a lot of great players have played in this stadium and at this city, it's definitely a special moment. Yeah, I mean, just to be in this moment, I mean, you don't know if you're ever going to be back, and so for me, I'm gonna maximize it like that. I mean, obviously, I want to be back here, and I want to play in multiple Super Bowls, but every opportunity you get here, you know how hard it is, and so I'm going to try to maximize that.
All right, I'm excited. I know you guys are too, as this weekend, Super Bowl Sunday, will feature the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Nothing like Super Bowl weekend. It is the biggest sporting event in the world. Well, no, let me take that back. In America. Maybe not the world. You know, I mean, you still got the World Cup. I mean,
oh, who cares?
People like when the World Cup comes, Jack. I mean, that's the world. You know,
yeah, and the world's wrong, to be honest.
And
but
soccer is
whatever.
The most popular sport in the world. So, here in America, though, we you know, our sport is football. We all know that, and there is nothing like the Super Bowl. I got to be real with you guys. I'm hoping this doesn't come to fruition, but I think, Jack, this game is going to be a blowout. I'm hoping I'm wrong here, but I got a feeling that the Kansas City Chiefs, no slight against the San Francisco 49ers, that defense is real. Jimmy G has been playing great, but don't sleep on the Kansas City Chiefs defense, though. I think they've stepped up, and they've contained. They've become a better run defense team, and I think if it's just all on the arm of Jimmy G, that spells a big fat L for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm hoping it's competitive because you don't want to sit there, gather with your homies, you know, eat all that good food, and watch a blowout Super Bowl. You don't want to see a dud of a game, and then you're just sitting there chatting with people, and you're watching it for the commercials or the halftime show that features Shakira and the beautiful Jennifer Lopez. So I'm hoping I'm wrong here, but my gut feeling just tells me that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win this one easily. And you know what? When I was cutting up that soundbite, and when I've been watching coverage throughout the week, you know, I watch Media Day. You know, centered on both teams as both teams prepare and they get asked these lighthearted questions. You know, man, Patrick Mahomes, what is he, like 23 years old? I mean, he is so mature, Jack. I mean, this dude, and you hear this left and right from personnel that really know Patrick Mahomes and, you know, his fellow teammates and those members of the coaching staff and Andy Reid. When they talk about Patrick Mahomes, they always talk about how mature he is. And you hear him talk. I mean, this is a young man who's focused, who knows what he wants to accomplish in the league. You know, he has handled, you know, that injury with incredible maturity and just worked hard. And boom, he's in the Super Bowl. And I think this is going to be the first of many Super Bowl appearances for Patrick Mahomes. I just don't know how you slow down that brother as well. I mean, how do you contain Patrick Mahomes, who does everything well? You know, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes has a weakness playing the quarterback position. It's going to be very interesting, though. But, you know, my gut is telling me right now, Jack, Kansas City by double digits. Now, if I had to, you know, be more specific than that. I think Kansas City wins by at least 10 points here. At least 10. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, Al, I thought you were going to say something like, you know, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns here. No, I still think I believe it will be competitive to start, but I still think, double digits in the Super Bowl to win by double digits, I consider that a pretty convincing victory. I'm just hoping this thing doesn't go to 14 and then 21. I hope it doesn't get out of hand, but that's what my gut is telling me right now, Jack. Do you disagree with that? Am I sliding the 49ers?
I actually do disagree. I think the 49ers are winning this game.
Wow,
to be completely honest with you.
Why is that?
Their defense, especially their defensive front. I mean, you could just go down the list of names: Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, D. Ford. They have like one of the best pass rushes I've seen in football the last 5 years. You know, going back to like what the Broncos had a few years ago with Derek Wolfe and Von Miller when they were able to win the Super Bowl. I think this unit might be better than that unit. And then you have Richard Sherman on the back end, who's a little bit older now, a little bit longer in the tooth than the last time he played in a Super Bowl, but he's still been very productive in what they ask him to do.
Yeah.
Even though he kind of annoys me with his press conferences anymore when he's talking about how people were sleeping on him. I don't understand how anyone could have slept on Richard Sherman. Like, there's no doubt that he's an incredible football player.
But Richard Sherman said people slept on him?
Yeah, because he didn't have many offers coming into the season. Like, the Lions offered him a contract with a lot of guaranteed money, and the Niners did as well. I'm not sure there were a whole lot of other suitors for him just because he was coming off an injury. But I guess this would have been last year, right? I think this is his second year on the Niners, or maybe it's his first year. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But my point is, yeah, he's been very vocal the last couple weeks that, you know, people didn't really believe in him, and it's like, all right, dude, whatever. Like, I mean, everyone thinks you're one of the best cornerbacks to ever do it, so that kind of annoys me. But no, I think their defense is outstanding, and I think, you know, they've shown a propensity to be able to hang with teams in shootouts this season. You know, the Saints game, I think the final score of that game was like 51-48 when they played the Niners. You know, how many points did they score last week against the Green Bay Packers? Something like 34 against a Packer defense that's pretty maligned. And the Chiefs defense has gotten better recently, but how much better has it really gotten? If you look down the line of their schedule, they haven't played a lot of great offenses. You know, even so far in this playoffs, who have they played? They played Deshaun Watson, who scored, what, 31 points against him, that Texans offense. And then before that, after that, they played the Tennessee Titans, who are led by Ryan Tannehill, and Derrick Henry's basically their entire offense. So I'm not sold on the Kansas City defense to be able to stop, you know, this rushing attack from Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo isn't an elite quarterback by any stretch. Nobody thinks he is, but I think he can do what they're going to need him to do in order to win this game. And Mahomes is an unbelievable player, and they have unbelievable weapons in Kansas City, but I just think, you know, I guess I'll never bet on Andy Reid in a Super Bowl, even though I want him to win. But, yeah, for me, man, I just think the 49ers are going to win this game, probably 34-31, 31-27, something like that. I hope the Chiefs win, though.
It's intriguing on a lot of different levels because you have, first off, I mean, that Kansas City defense is a defense on the rise, I think, Jack. You know, that's a revamped secondary led by the All-Pro, I think he was, what, All-Pro second team, the Honey Badger. Tyrann Mathieu, he's taken a huge leap this year. That was a pass defense. If you remember last season, that was a Chiefs pass defense that was ranked 31st in the NFL. And they wrapped up the 2019 regular season as the league's 8th best pass defense. Kansas City ranked 5th in INTs, solid pass rush, Pro Bowlers Chris Jones, also you throw Frank Clark in that conversation. 45 sacks during the regular season. That was 11th most in the NFL. Also limited opponents to a much improved 37% conversion rate on third downs. And during the final 5 weeks also of the regular season, no NFL team allowed fewer points than Kansas City at 10.4 points.
You do have to go back and look at their schedule, though. They played nobody those last 5 games.
I hear you, but you cannot deny, Jack, that this defense is not a defense that you look at and just laugh at like you did last season.
It's much improved, or even at the beginning of this season.
Right,
yes.
It's a much more improved defense. So I combine that with you know, my thought process when reading all of that this morning was, okay, you know, I think this is a defense that can contain or at least frustrate Jimmy G and that offense a little bit, and if you just frustrate that offense a little bit and give Kansas City extra possessions offensively and force a few punts, how in the world, how do you slow down Patrick Mahomes in that offense? I mean, you just mentioned it, Jack. I mean, they have so many weapons offensively, so much firepower. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, a high-octane offense, three Pro Bowlers in Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and my goodness, Travis Kelce in that Tennessee Titans game. I mean, the Titans couldn't do anything to contain that man. And then you throw on Patrick Mahomes, you know, leading that charge. You know, Hill, the NFL's fastest man, he led the Chiefs in touchdowns receptions during the regular season. That's even with missing four games. You know, Travis Kelce, he led the Chiefs in both receptions with 97 and receiving yards. Mecole Hardman, whose speed is bested by only that of
Tyreek Hill. Yeah, I was going to say, you just mentioned Tyreek Hill as the fastest player in the NFL. Mecole Hardman's probably the second fastest.
He's probably the second fastest. I mean, Mike, it's an embarrassment of riches on that offense for an already talented brother in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I just don't know. And then you throw in, if that isn't enough, you throw in receiver Sammy Watkins, who is having an amazing postseason right now. He's averaging 21 yards per reception through two playoff games. He racked up 7 catches for 114 and a touchdown in the AFC title game alone. I mean, and then also, to add more fuel to the fire, you got receiver DeMarcus Robinson and running back Damian Williams, who combined for 62 catches for 662 yards and 6 TDs during the regular season. How do you slow down all of those weapons, Jack? I mean, I look at all of that and I just say to myself, yeah, just give them the trophy right now. I don't,
wow. Really? Yeah,
all of that talent?
Against the 49ers defense, just give them the trophy
right now.
I think that's going to be an all-time bad take, but we'll see.
It's way too much. Yeah, we'll see you on Monday. We'll see you on Monday. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping it's competitive because who wants to sit there? You gather with everybody. What are your Super Bowl plans, man? Are you just getting with the homies and you guys ordering a bunch of food?
We haven't even talked about it yet, so I don't know if I'm going to wind up going to somebody's house or if I'm going to wind up hosting. Like, I have my group of people that I imagine I'm going to watch the game with, but we haven't really had any discussions in terms of who's hosting. So
what I used to do in college, we used to live at a... You know, four of my really good friends in college, you know, two of them are like my brothers, man. We had this huge apartment when we were at Michigan State University, and we had off-campus apartment. We had, you know, four of us. So we all had a room to ourselves, and we had this huge living room area, this huge dining room area, and we would host it. We hosted it about, like we were there for 2 years. So 2 years straight, we hosted it, and we had a TV in the living room, a TV in the kitchen, and a TV in the dining room, and we just invited everybody over, everybody that we knew. You know, all of my fraternity brothers came over. I was heavily involved in my frat in college. All of them would come over, you know. I mean, we just had the apartment was ridiculously packed when we would host Super Bowl parties. So then we would just order a bunch of food. Everybody would chip in and order a bunch of food, man, and we would just kind of pig out, man. Those are some of the best memories. Those are probably the best Super Bowl parties that I've ever been to. Back in college with your buddies, there's nothing like it, man. So
see, that's interesting because that's just a setting that would not appeal to me at all in terms of watching the Super Bowl. You want to know why?
You want everybody in one room?
No, not necessarily. I think there are two types of people on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
There are people that are there to watch a football game, and then there are people that are there for like the whole spectacle, like the commercials, the halftime show, all that. I'm in the first category. I could not care less about the halftime show. I don't particularly care about the commercials very much either. And I don't think those two groups should mix. Like, I am very seriously watching this for the football game.
Right.
And people that are there that aren't very invested in a sporting event, I think, like, annoy the heck out of me. So
I hear you on that. And that's the thing, too, because I would be that guy. I'm that guy, Jack. I mean, we're
sports
guys.
Yeah, so am I. Right.
You know? So when the game is on, first off, there's so many people, so some people are joking and laughing and having fun. And
it's annoying.
And I'm trying to lock in.
Yes.
And I got people cracking jokes and having fun, having a good, no problem, having a good time. But, you know, it gets to a point where, like, man, am I really following this game right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the commercials hit. And I like both, Jack, because I'm a TV guy. So I like seeing the commercials, and sometimes when you have a not sometimes, all the time. When you have a huge group, they talk over the TV. You can't hear. Like, I would
see,
I would have
not
to
allowed.
Give a recap. I
would not
have to
allowed.
Give a recap the next day. You know,
yeah.
And then be like, oh, that, I didn't even see that commercial. I always miss a ton of commercials because I'm in a huge setting. So I don't know if I'm going to drive to Detroit and go watch it with the fam or just stay here in Lansing and just watch it, you know, with just one or two people, two, three, four people, and just check it out that way. So
you,
I don't know.
You know who the worst person is, by the way, at the setting you just described?
What's that?
Relax, guy or girl. I'm yelling at the TV, hey, relax, relax.
Oh,
no, I'm not going to relax. This is football.
Isn't that the worst? It annoys me.
That's the worst. That's how you make an enemy with me right away.
It's like you don't understand sports. You know, you don't have the same passion for this. Don't rain on my parade because I'm into this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, that happened to me. Oh, my gosh. What fight was it?
And that's kind of the point I'm making where, like you said, there's nothing wrong with people that are there for the spectacle. And I agree with that. Just, you know, enjoy the spectacle at a party that I'm not at.
Exactly. I'm totally with you. You know, I got into it with somebody. Because I hosted a fight party. And I'm a big boxing and MMA guy.
Sure.
And it was, I forget.
Who goes to a fight party if they're not interested in a fight?
Just to be around people and get, you know.
Must have been a big fight then.
It was. It was a huge. It was Mayweather. I forget who Mayweather was fighting, though.
Was it Pacquiao or McGregor?
No,
how recent was it?
It wasn't Manny. It wasn't Conor. I mean, it was a while ago, dude. I forget who it was. I have to go back and look it up. But everybody comes over and I'm into the fight and I'm yelling at the TV and you know, and then, you know, it's somebody was there like, Al, calm down. It ain't that serious. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, dude, and I get in this back and forth, this meaningless back and forth. And I miss a whole round because of it. I totally know what you mean. So it's like, let people enjoy the spectacle
at a party that I'm not at.
Or at a party that you're not at, Jack. Exactly. So I'm curious to hear from our listeners. How are you guys watching the Super Bowl, who with, and you know, what's your favorite part of the Super Bowl? For me, I like the commercials. I love watching of course the game, along with the game, with the commercials. And you know, look, Jennifer Lopez and Shakira in Miami, I'll be tuning in for that too. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Who you got, Chiefs or 49ers? After we hit our first and only break, we're going to welcome one of our fantastic current sports PAs. Megan Landon is going to join us here on the show, and she's going to throw some prop bets at us, and we'll weigh in on a few fun prop bets for this Super Bowl Sunday. All right, so don't go anywhere. You are listening to this Friday edition, Super Bowl Eve edition of Current Sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gents, boys and girls. You know, real quick, I just want to address this really briefly here before we end the show and end the week with some Super Bowl prop bets. But, you know, and I teased this right before we got to the headliners. I read this from the Miami Herald and just kind of chuckled, man. You know, I feel for Detroit Lions fans. I don't know how you guys do this. I don't know how you guys do it. But sources apparently close to Tua Tagovailoa's camp, I guess you can say, say that the Alabama quarterback would love for the Miami Dolphins to trade up to number 3 to select him. Those same sources say that they don't love the idea of Detroit actually picking Tua because of the arc of that team's current coaching situation. Now, as we all know, the Lions will be playing their third season under Matty Patty, Matt Patricia in 2020. He has a 9-22-1 record.
Is that good? 9 wins and 22 losses?
Yeah, right. Exactly, Jack. Oh, my goodness. That's his record after his first two seasons. And the Tagovailoas are concerned another poor season could force the Lions to fire Patricia, putting the QB in the uncertain 2021 situation of being a draft pick the new coach didn't make. So you said, Jack, and this is coming from the Miami Herald. You know, at first when I read this, I'm chuckling. Like, okay, where was this coming from? Some, like you said, message board, rumor mill. But no, this is coming from the Miami Herald, who apparently have a source close to the Tagovailoas. And they stated this. And look, when I read this, I kind of just chuckled and said to myself, Lions fans, if this is in fact true, what do you expect?
Well, they're not going to take him because they're an awful franchise. I would draft Tua here, but I also would have fired Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia. Did you hear, by the way, though, that Tua's agent effectively said he did want the Lions to draft Tagovailoa?
Really?
He said...
Did you hear Nate Burleson? Did you hear what Nate said?
Yeah, that was actually surprising that Nate advocated them to move on from Stafford because Stafford is Burleson's guy. That was surprising to me when I heard that.
That says a lot. That's what I was just about to say. Nate is him and Matthew are very close. That's his guy. But what I love, Nate Burleson is great on TV, and he's able to put his bias aside and is able to look at this and say that, look, man, Matthew Stafford, he's had these back problems for 2 years now. You got to start thinking about your future. And what good franchises do is they are always one or two steps ahead of the next chess player. And the Lions are always not one or two steps behind, like 20 steps behind.
So, evidenced by them bringing Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia back for another year.
Right, exactly.
Like, they should have moved on from him, and then you can draft Tua and start over here, but they're not going to because Quinn and Patricia are coaching and managing for their jobs this season, I believe.
Yep.
So you can't draft a rookie quarterback.
Right, and that's the thing, man. I mean, well, why can't you draft a rookie quarterback, have him sit on the bench, learn, and ride with Matthew Stafford if something... God, I'm hoping this doesn't happen, but if something happens to him, you can go to him. You're going to have growing pains with any young quarterback, but the time to build for your future is right now, and you got a prime opportunity to start building with a really solid young quarterback who has a lot of promise right now in Tua Tagovailoa.
Asking why the Lions can't do that?
No, because they're
because they'll get fired if they don't make the playoffs this season, so therefore you can't use the third overall pick on a guy who's not going to play this year. That's why they can't take him.
See, and I argue different there. At the end of the day, I understand, yeah, Matt Patricia is probably coaching for his job.
Well, and Bob Quinn is managing for his job.
Is managing for his job. But look, at the end of the day, I mean, come on now. Tua is sitting right there. Right there. And you think, and it's the thing, is Martha Ford is still pulling the strings here, right? Martha Ford is still in charge, and
as in telling them what to do.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe so because Bob Quinn.
She's up there in age, and I always wonder. Like,
no, because Bob Quinn had offers from other jobs, or at least he was interviewed by other teams before he took the Lions' job. And if Martha Ford was going to be the one calling the shots, then he would have never taken this job to begin with.
Boy, I tell you, it's just so frustrating because if Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia, if this is indeed their final year, and they make this horrible decision not to draft Tua. Horrible decision in my eye, at least, to not draft Tua. Man, Lions fans, I don't know how you support this franchise. I don't know how you guys
I don't think I'm going to be watching next season, to be honest with you. And that has nothing to do with Tua, really. It was when it was announced that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn were coming back for another season, I pretty much just said, cool, I'll watch the NFL. I'll watch streams where I can see teams nationally, but I'm not watching this franchise next year.
You need, Jack, that second team that you can root for, dude.
No.
I don't know how you are going to go through life. You're still young. Make the change while you're young, man.
Because I'm just a football fan, man. I don't need that.
Don't be sitting there 70 years old, still tuning in every Sunday, watching this team, hoping for a Super Bowl. You're going to be like 70, 80 years old, sitting there with your grandkids, putting them through hell as well. I mean, come on, man.
My reward will be great in heaven.
I like it. All right, to close out current sports, we have welcomed live in the studio one of our fantastic students who are a part of the Journalism 418 class. They are helping us throughout the semester, providing some great content and some different stories that go beyond your usual Michigan State and pro sports talk here that we do each and every weekday on Current Sports. They'll be providing some really, really cool content very soon. Megan Landon now joins us in studio. And, you know, I put Megan on an assignment today to just look up some really cool prop bets that we can have some fun with on today's Current Sports. Again, we're just like a day and some change removed from Super Bowl Sunday. So first off, Megan, this is your first official time being on the air with us. How are you doing? Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday. I'm good. I'm a little nervous. I'm not much of a talker, so.
I know. This is your first time. Yeah. This is your first time on radio, period?
Yeah, ever.
And it's technically not on radio because we're not on radio. We're on Facebook Live right now.
It's a good way to ease into it.
So you don't think like you're on radio right now. So then maybe that calms the nerves a little bit. But yeah. Megan, what I like to do with our students who are on for the first time, just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you ended up coming here to Michigan State University, and what do you want to do in this industry?
Well, I have no idea what I want to do, so that first off.
Still figuring that out,
still
right?
figuring out. We have time, though. I am going to be graduating in May. I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, so 12 hours away, but my dad grew up in Lansing, huge Spartan fan, so of course I had to come here.
Right.
Two siblings who go here, so, I mean, awesome. It was an obvious choice.
Obvious choice. So it kind of just kind of ran in your veins, and you said, hey, why not? Let's go to Michigan State. And,
yep.
And did you know right off bat that you wanted to study journalism?
Yeah, I wrote for my school newspaper in high school, and I kind of wanted to do, like, architecture or something, but we don't have that here.
Right.
So I was like, might as well do journalism. I have a scholarship for it, so
awesome.
Can stick with it.
That is awesome, awesome stuff. And also, what is your beat that you're covering for us this semester?
My beat is outdoor recreation activities.
Okay.
So basically, like, hunting, fishing. I'm doing a story about the climbing club here.
Okay.
So, pretty cool, a little different. So
that
we'll
is
see.
Different.
We'll see how it goes.
I told you it's different content when it comes to our for our fantastic students who help us out each and every semester here. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay, to close out the show, let's dive into some prop bets. Megan, you have I believe like 10 prop bets that we can have some fun with here. Let's start with the first one. What is the first one?
Our first one is the length of the national anthem sung by Demi Lovato, and so the over is 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to say over, just because she's kind of dramatic. So I'm feeling like it's going to be like a long one.
You know what I'm curious to know? Like when it comes to past Super Bowl national anthems, I mean, how many of them do go over? And is that usually the line, like 2 minutes?
I have no idea. That's got to be your reference point, though,
if
you're actually going to put money on
this. It's like, what does history tell us? You know, have past Super Bowl national anthems gone over this 2-minute and 3-second mark? But Demi Lovato, you know, hey, Megan said that she's dramatic. You know, Demi, who, by the way, I know she had the stint where she was going through the drug abuse, and now she's back. I saw her at the Grammys, and she looks like she's back in it now and healthy. That's awesome to see her at the Super Bowl as well. I mean, she just performed at the Grammys. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to listen to the advice of Megan. She's going over. I'm going over because she's quote-unquote dramatic.
I mean, that's
in a good way, though. In a good way. Not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way. In a good way.
See, the problem with this one for me is I would probably agree with you that it would be over, but it's at -175. There's just no value there. So, like, I hate this pick. I would never bet this.
Well, we have to for Current Sports.
All right, but I'm not just putting my real money on it.
No.
All right, so I'll be a contrarian
no,
then, and I'll
that.
Say I'll bet the under. I'll say under 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
Okay, you're going under. All
Correct.
Right. What's the second prop bet we got, Megan?
Number two, we have the length of the word "brave" in the national anthem. So over
Brave?
5.5 seconds, because like, they always try and like mix it up and
right.
make it like put their own flair on it.
Oh yeah, so, okay. So like how long the note is held with the word brave? I'm going under there. I mean, how long can you really hold?
Oh, I'm going over for sure. Because
I think over too. I'm trying to think of how long 5.5 seconds is.
That's
well, I mean,
a long time.
Okay. So just think about like the deafening applause of everybody. While she's finishing up the national anthem, she's still holding that note the whole time everyone's clapping. So I think it goes over 5.5 for sure. But again, it's at -185. I hate that pick. There's no value there.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know that, Jack. There's not a lot of
value. A couple of these I'll actually probably bet, but like these first two, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's just up in the air, man. I'm going to go, okay, you guys think over. I'm going to go under just for the heck of it. Okay.
All right, there you go.
What's number three, Megan?
Will Tom Brady be mentioned?
Oh, yes.
I think,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
What? That's easy. What?
No question.
That's real.
I don't know who's picking no on that.
Yeah, who's picking no? My goodness. And he made himself relevant with that whole tweet picture thing. You better believe they're going to bring that up.
And we still don't know where he's playing next year, and this is the first year in like four seasons he hasn't been in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, there's no chance he doesn't get brought up on a 3.5-hour broadcast.
We all agree. That's an obvious yes there. Okay, number four.
Jersey number of the first touchdown scorer.
Wow.
See, this is one that I would consider betting.
Really? This one is up in the air.
Well, Jack. Only because, you know, you mentioned it earlier, is that you got probably the two best tight ends in all of football here, right?
Mm-hmm.
In George Kittle for the Niners and Travis Kelce for the Chiefs.
Like 80-something, right?
Yeah, and George Kittle's also in the 80s because they're tight ends, right?
So
if the over-under is 26.5 and at over you're giving me +115, I might sprinkle on that a little bit and just think. And I got to figure out what Raheem Mostert's number is, too, for San Francisco. So I'll need to do some research, but my instinct's telling me to sprinkle a little bit on the over there.
Okay, you're going with the over to play, just to be opposite. I'm gonna go under. I think Sammy Watkins, his jersey number is small.
I think he's like 11. Yeah.
So I'm gonna
let me research that for you, but I think he's 11.
Yeah, or like 12, 13. I don't know, something like
that. No, he's 14. But yeah,
14.
You're right.
Okay. Yep. I'm gonna go under. What about you, Meg? What do you say on that one?
It's pretty tough.
That's up in the air.
I have no idea really. I'm just gonna say in general, I think there's a lot of numbers over the number 26.
Yeah.
There's more over than under, so I would say over.
There you go.
You're going to go over.
Yeah, okay. Raheem Mostert's over 26.5, too. He's number 31. So, yeah, I like the over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over just to be opposite you guys. Okay, number five. What do we got?
The total number of Donald Trump tweets on February 2nd. And so over is 13.5.
Oh, our president of the United States of America. He's always tweeting. I'm going to say easily. Hold on, 13.5?
Yeah, am I missing something here? This seems
so
obvious.
13 tweets?
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, that's under.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, too.
13.
And I think he's going to be at the game. So,
I think it's all day. I don't think it's just about
the game. Oh, yeah, but he's going to have like his like regular like presidential harassment tweets in there, too, that have nothing to do with the game. So I'm going to need to see. Do retweets count, too? That's the other thing. Do retweets count?
Donald Trump. In one day, he like tweeted like 70-something times at one point.
Does that include retweets? Because that's an important thing to consider.
I mean, if you're on there and you put anything out, that's a tweet.
Right.
You know
what I
mean? So,
I agree.
I'm going to go under here. At 13, especially if, and I agree with you, Jack, I think he'll probably be at the game. I'm going to go under here. Megan?
I mean, I think over just because he has his two accounts, like his presidential account and then his personal account.
He still has two accounts?
Yeah, and then he'll like retweet
the
other one.
I don't think they're talking about the POTUS account because he has the POTUS account
just
now because
general,
he's the president.
Though.
Okay.
I think
they
it's
don't count that.
No,
right?
I think it's tweets from at real Donald Trump.
Over, though.
Yeah, at the real Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under, though. I think he's going to be too busy that day.
I would go under as well.
Okay, you're going under with that one as well. Okay, what else we got, Megan?
Who will win, or who will the Super Bowl MVP of the game thank first? So we have, like, teammates, coach, family,
probably
God,
the man upstairs.
Owner.
Yep, yeah. God is one of those. I am going to say teammates.
Yeah.
They always start with the teammates.
That's all chalk, though. Guys. Teammates is 3-2.
It
is all chalk.
It is, man. But that's how it's going to... I don't want to lose to you guys. So, I am going to say teammates, Megan.
I'd say teammates, too.
Jack?
Yeah, I'll say teammates, yeah.
All right, seven.
Which company airs the first commercial after the coin toss? So, we have, like, Bud Light, Budweiser, Coke, Hyundai, Skittles, M&M's, Kia... All those
and then the field.
Popular ones.
And Bud Light is 15-1, Budweiser 15-1, Coke is 19-1, Hyundai is 19-1, Skittles 19-1, Mars/M&M's 24-1, Kia is 24-1, and the field is 2-3. I didn't want to, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the Super Bowl commercials have already been released. I believe from a beer company, and everybody's crying about it.
I think they have two of them.
Bud Light already released theirs, and a lot of people are crying about it. It's a very emotional commercial. I think that may be the one. I'm going to go with Bud Light.
So here's what I would do on this one. Bud Light is 15-1, Hyundai is 19-1, and the field is 2-3. Yeah. So I think I'll probably bet this one as well. I'll put $5 down on Bud Light at 15-1 to win 75. I would put $5 down at Hyundai to win 95, and then I would bet the field as well. I'll sprinkle some money. That's how you'd make money on something like this, I think.
For sure.
Because like to just straight up pick Bud Light at 15-1. You're not giving yourself great value.
Right, you got to spread it out.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, for the sake of current sports, though, what do you think is going to be? What are you going with?
Of all of those, yeah. I'll say Hyundai.
Hyundai?
Yeah.
What about you, Megan?
I don't know. I'm going to either say Bud Light or Kia, because they always have those Kia Soul commercials with the rats and stuff.
That is
so
true.
I feel like those are pretty popular.
I like those commercials, too. those rats
They're
are
so
funny.
Weird.
They're weird. They're funny, though. All right, let's fly through these last few here. Number 8. What do you got, Megan?
First coach to be shown during the national anthem. So we got Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Robert Saleh. No coach shown.
Mm-hmm. Andy Reid at +110, Shanahan at +120, Saleh is +550, and then no coach shown, +350. Andy Reid for +110. That's what I'm going with.
I would also bet Andy Reid at +110, and then I would sprinkle some on Robert Saleh.
Gotcha. Jack is like getting into his real betting mode right here.
Because that's just such good value. Like, I don't think there's any way he gets shown first, but if he's at +550,
you gotta lay
$10 down, right?
Right, why
not? Win 55?
You maybe could win big. What do you got, Megan, for that one?
Just to be different, I'll say Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
Just to be different.
All right, last two here. Number 9.
Will any scoring drive take less time than it takes Demi Lovato to sing the national anthem?
I'm going no.
No.
2 minutes and 3 seconds is what they're giving for Demi. Mm-hmm. I am going to say no on that at +175.
Even with, we just discussed, Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill, you don't think there's either of them go vertical and house a play?
No.
Really?
I give a little bit of respect to the 49ers defense.
You didn't seem to. You didn't seem to.
2 minutes, Jack?
You didn't seem to give any respect. You said you might as well hand the Chiefs the trophy now when the 49ers have the best defense in football. You're not giving them any respect.
To score in 2 minutes, Jack? Come on, dude.
Okay, so they're going to give
them a little maybe 3.
So they're going to get their doors blown off. They're just not going to give up a touchdown in 2 minutes.
I said 10 points.
That's very respectful. Yeah, but you also said just hand the Chiefs the Lombardi trophy now.
There will be many people incredibly surprised if the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes aren't the ones holding that trophy up, without a doubt. But I'm going no on this one.
Well,
Megan?
You should bet that one. You should bet that one then, because it's +175.
It is, I know.
You should actually bet that one.
So you're going with yes here?
No, because of value, I'll also say no, even though I think yes.
Hey, okay. You think yes, though.
Yeah,
you
but I wouldn't. Yes. Yes, but I wouldn't bet that at -260.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you think, what, the 49ers are going to have that scoring drive?
I think the Chiefs will.
Oh,
yes.
And you're still picking the 49ers?
Correct.
Oh, that makes no sense, Jack. Number 10, what do you got, Megan?
What color will the Gatorade or liquid be that is dumped on the head coach of the winning Super Bowl team?
This is always a fun one.
Yeah.
This is always a fun one. What are the odds here we have, Megan?
We have orange +400, clear water +300, yellow +300, red +150, blue +750, and purple +1800.
Okay.
I said orange originally, but then Jack kind of changed my mind a little bit.
How did Jack change? Don't let Jack change your mind. Well, why did
it's a great
Jack
point, because Jack might have changed his mind on this one, too, actually, since we talked.
Don't listen to Jack.
Well,
he changed his mind.
I'm going to stick with the orange, just because that was my initial thought, but he said blue, there's multiple different flavors of that kind of Gatorade, so like it could be any different kind of that, and there's only one of orange. The difference of that.
So I think the reason blue is such great value here at +750 is because blue was the color last year. I was just listening to an excerpt from of Mike Valeni's podcasts that said, yeah, blue was what was poured on Belichick last year, so he doesn't think they'll replicate, which makes me think at that point, yeah, I would probably say orange. But initially, I said blue for that exact reason. You got Glacier Freeze, which is a classic. You have Cool Blue. And then you have another flavor of Gatorade as well. My personal favorite's the like clear, or not the clear, like the white cherry, but that's just me. Oh, I can't stand the purple.
Purple is amazing.
I'm not a fan.
That's a brother thing, though. We love purple drink. Purple is great. Have you seen the Chappelle Show skit on that? You got to check out the Chappelle Show.
No, I don't think so.
Anybody who has not seen the Chappelle Show skit on purple drink, check it out right now. It's amazing. But I'm going to go here. Then I was thinking about jersey colors. That doesn't matter. It's about what the players
Well, like. I don't know. I think red on red, and then you have red Gatorade, too. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Maybe they save one just for the, you know, like they save a jug of Gatorade just for if that coach wins and
maybe
what
they
looks
do.
Better. I'm going to go red here. I'm just going to go red just because I'm just feeling my gut in my gut. It's going to be red. I'm going to go red at plus 150. Megan, what say you?
Orange.
You're going with, mm-hmm. Oh, you said orange already.
Yeah, I'll do orange as well.
And you're going orange.
Yep.
So he all almost right. changed me, and then I
And then, yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
It's all right.
Funny how that works, right? All right, and Megan, we didn't get a prediction from you. Jack is going 49ers. I'm going Chiefs. Who do you think is going to win on Sunday?
I'm a Vikings fan, so.
Right. Oh, man.
Unfortunate.
Good year, though. Good year. Kirk Cousins turned it up, man.
Can never finish it out, though.
Can never finish it out.
It's always been a story. But right. I'm going to go with the 49ers.
You're going with the 49ers mm-hmm. as well. All right. Well, those are our prop bets for today's current sports Super Bowl edition. And just to close out the show, you know, we close it out with Reflection Friday, and I think, you know, it's a pretty obvious Reflection Friday for me. This was certainly a tough week to talk sports due to what occurred on Sunday and the tragic helicopter crash that took Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others. You know, hopefully this weekend can bring about a lot of smiles and can help us to celebrate the life that was Kobe and those eight others. All right. Now, I know that they have a tribute planned for Kobe during the Super Bowl. Enjoy it. Be safe, folks. We'll see you on Monday to recap it all again. Michigan State and Wisconsin play tomorrow afternoon. We'll be recapping that game on Monday as well. Michigan also playing Rutgers tomorrow at 4:30. We'll recap it all. Going to be a very busy sports weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the Super Bowl and see you Monday, folks. Be easy, people.